Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the show. We're so glad you're here with us. I want to remind you the call-in number, 323-203-0815. And I want to thank the One Institute for bringing us here to be with you each and every week. We love being here with you, and I know we've got calls, so I'm going to say, Dr. Allen, you're live on the air. Are you ready to go to work?
I'm ready.
Awesome. Our wonderful Ronan at the switchboard is going to put us on with callers.
Good. Hello?
Hi, caller. You're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi, Dr. Allen. So glad to talk
Hello.
To you.
Hello.
Yes. I do have a question. So I did a negotiation with the guy I was dating. So on the 23rd of this month, it will be my 8 weeks with him. But the problem
eight
I
weeks
have with
him
was... Oh, 8 weeks, no contact for 8 weeks. Is that right?
Yeah, that's
I
why
read
I said
book.
I didn't understand that 8 weeks with him. If he was with him, why are we counting
oh, no,
eight
no,
weeks?
No.
So did
no,
he
no,
leave
I,
or did you leave?
Well, basically, he wanted to work it out, but I told him that I want some type of commitment with him before I do anything, so we're long distance.
What level
and
of commitment? Boyfriend, girlfriend, fiancé, you know?
Yeah, like I want to see, I want to see if we can move forward with getting engaged and stuff like that. Because when I read the book.
That long?
No, so we met back in, so we had a 3 months. 3 months.
Oh, you
I thought
dated
after 3 months,
3 months
negotiation. Yeah.
So he's not ready. Usually,
well, no, basically,
6 months.
Okay.
Usually 6 months is when you've gone through your perfect first 3 months, your imperfect second 3 months, and you've either got to split up or you've got to negotiate. The third 3 months are negotiating time, space, money, and play, pre-commitment, pre-engagement, pre-marriage. And the fourth 3 months is committed, which is you're 51% valuable, and I want to build my life with you. So
well, this
three
is the problem I had
a
with
little
him.
Early.
Yeah. Well, we're long distance, and I decided not to date him anymore because I want somebody local. And he flew down to Orange County to see me, and he wants to work things out. So I said, that's okay,
right.
And we have
so
to think.
Can you see him once a month?
Well, he flew down once, and then what happened is when he came down, I said, you know, I don't want to have casual sex with you unless we decided what we're going to do with our life, because I read the book,
yes,
so I don't want to
good.
Be intimate. And then he said he misses me, and he loves me, and he wants to make it work. And then, so we got intimate again, and then he flew back to San Jose, and he texted me this long text saying that he don't have time to spend with me, and I said, okay, you know what, I don't want to deal with you anymore, because, you know, I don't want
he
to go back
that.
And forth.
He said that.
Yeah, he said that. Well, because the day
okay.
that I was supposed to come
so
up and see him, his mom.
Waiting, you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
How much of the 8 weeks has he used up?
So I haven't talked to him in 8 weeks.
So it is already 8 weeks.
It's the 23rd is 8 weeks. So next week.
Okay. Well, it's not the 23rd. It's the 18th today.
Oh, what? I couldn't hear what you said.
It's only the 18th. It's not the 23rd today.
Oh, okay.
For what
yeah.
reason are you premature?
Well, I want to ask, what do I do once the 8 weeks is up? Because I feel kind of awkward. I feel kind of awful to leave him because the week that I was supposed to come see him in San Jose, his mom fell and she went to the hospital and she broke her hip bones. And so the last text he texted me was, my mother have less than a year to live, so I can't focus on being with you. That's what he said. And
okay.
Then, like, in 8 weeks after that.
So have you extended the 8 weeks for this reason?
No, I just ignore him after that text that he said his mom have less than a year to live and that he can't focus on being in a relationship with me and if we can be friends until he's ready.
You know what?
And
then would you be willing to invest the rest of this year in an intercourse, but dating when you can get with it? You know, an affection. Would you be willing to let him be your boyfriend while his mother is dying?
That's why I got confused, because I feel like he's using that excuse to just back and forth with me, you know?
I know, but it's a good excuse. Do you want to take advantage of that excuse and say, I would love to have a romantic, affectionate, non-intimate, no intercourse relationship, you see, while you're
until your mom as well.
Painful period.
I mean,
well, don't say till your mom dies.
Okay.
Say during this painful period, would you be willing to be gracious enough to tell him that?
Yeah, I want to be there for him, even as a friend.
Then be there for him, but I don't want
you to build.
You to build a resentment against him for not making love to you and treating you like his fiance. You're not a priority while she's sick, but you can be his girlfriend.
Okay.
We want to do that.
I want to, but I just don't know, because I don't know if he's really honest about it.
You're talking about him. I'm talking. He already told you, I don't have enough energy to take care of my mother and you.
Okay.
Can you say
that? How do you think I should text him back for that after 8 weeks?
Wait a minute. The phone is really being scratchy.
Yeah, I don't know what
happened. Say what you just said.
So how would I start a conversation with him after the 8 weeks and said that I was willing to be there for you?
No, you're
going to
do it now.
Okay.
You're going to do it now. You're going to send me a text and it's going to say, I'm so sorry about your mother's illness. I would love to be your friend.
Okay.
During this period of time, and we can see each other whenever possible, but it's not, I'm not going to expect you to be a committed sexual partner.
Okay. That's okay.
Are you willing to do that?
Yes. So I'll text him today.
And yes, I know. That's why you're calling.
Yeah.
And I want you to know, I want you to date non-sexually other people so you don't get frustrated and mad at him for his situation.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much. Yes, so I will go ahead and text him today. Thank you so much, Dr. Pat.
Welcome. Bye.
Thank you, caller. Okay, so I think we've got another call coming in.
Good.
All right. Let's see what's happening. Yes. Hey, caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question? Hello, caller.
Hello.
There we go. Hi, caller. You're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hi.
Well, I called in a couple weeks ago. I called in a couple weeks ago, and I have since seen my girlfriend. I actually, before I went to see her, I went and bought a diamond ring for her. And I asked her if she was, I told her, I proposed to her if she wanted to get married. And she said yes.
Well, and, congratulations.
So that was last week.
What happened
this week? Yeah, thank you. Thank you. So this week, we got in a pretty bad argument. I think it was yesterday or the day before. Basically, now that we're engaged, I feel like more asserting myself. I feel like asserting myself more and telling her what I want. So I made an appointment with her yesterday, and I asked her if she would add me to her Instagram followers, which is like a social media thing.
Yes.
And
what did she say?
She said, well, why? She said, I don't know the password. She said, I don't use it. I don't know the password. And I said, well, your photo's recent. And I said, anyway, you don't need the password to get in. And she said, well, I'm just going to delete it because, you know, I don't want social media to affect our relationship. And then I said, well, I'm thinking that you're hiding something from me because you won't let me see something, some photo on there. And, and you know,
that's what your intuition told you.
So my intuition told me that.
And what did she say to that?
Go ahead.
What did she say?
She said that. She said that she was going to close her Instagram account, delete it, and that she would send me the photos.
Good.
Well, she said
she was
that,
what?
And then she, I'm trying to remember how this whole thing went.
Did she, in fact, eliminate?
I told her. No. She did. She sort of did. She eliminated her profile photo. I don't know if she knows how to eliminate the whole thing.
Well,
but
why don't
basically
you help
she didn't
her
want
eliminate
me to see it.
Well, I'm sure
okay,
she did
I will.
It because
I will.
There might be other men on there that she knew before you.
Yes. And she said that it was, you know, private stuff and there was nothing on there that I should be concerned about.
Then I want you to give her the benefit of the doubt and let her eliminate it. And when she's ready, she'll tell you to look that she's eliminated.
Okay. I will do that.
She had a right to a private life, and she has a right to be afraid to show it to you.
Okay. Yes,
therefore, if she eliminates it this month and can demonstrate elimination, I believe she's doing something supportive of your relationship.
Okay.
If you're asking for a full disclosure of her past history, that's much too intimate. That is not appropriate. She's not a virgin, and there have been men in her life before you.
Correct.
This is the woman with the child, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, she has a child, a 6-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
so my question is every time I make an appointment and I say, hey, I want to talk about this subject.
Yes.
When you have time. Of course, she always says now. So then I tell
What's wrong
her
with now?
What I want. And I...
What?
No, nothing.
What
nothing.
Is it you're upset
nothing
about?
Nothing is wrong with now. I just tell her. Okay, so whenever I tell her what I want, she accuses me of being a manipulator and controlling. And
well, then do you
her
always
her
ask her? Do you always ask her, I want this? How do you feel about giving it to me?
Yes.
You must always check her feelings.
Okay.
Does she tell you?
And
her
if she
feelings?
Says, I don't feel comfortable. Yes. She always tells me, like, she wants respect.
Well, if she wants respect, then you have to be a woman with her, and you may not want that.
No.
You want to be respected, am I right?
Yes, that's correct. And
all right. Well,
when I ask her how she feels.
Yes.
Okay.
And she says, I want respect.
She starts yelling at me.
I got news for you. She acts disrespectful. Mm-hmm. Are you willing to tell her the price for being disrespectful is a broken relationship?
At this point, I'm trying to work it out to see if I can salvage the relationship because we've been together
are
for 1 year. I proposed to her.
Are you willing to be respectful of her? I need one person, respect first, cherish second, and the other person, cherish first, respected second, and I don't care whether it's a man or a woman. Gay people, lesbians, they have to do it too. We've got to waltz. You can't waltz equally. Two Fred Astaires won't make it. Two Ginger Rogers won't make it. If you're willing to be the cherishable one, you'll always ask her what she thinks and what she wants. And she'll ask you or you'll tell her how you feel about it. Are you willing to explore that?
Yes.
Then on this particular week,
yes, because
you're going to say, I want to talk about your request to be respected. Is it convenient for you to hear and talk about it? Because now you're going to ask her convenient. And what can I do to help us do better? You see?
Okay.
And she hopefully will ask you how you feel about respecting her. And when she inadvertently asks you, you know, what you think, you'll tell her how you feel so that she doesn't get upset by the competition. I want. Do you want to try this example and explain to her that you're willing to respect her if she's willing to ask you how you feel about her leadership?
Yes, I'm willing to try it out.
Good. Then call us back and let us know how this went.
Okay.
Or better than that, get her on the phone, and we three will talk about it.
I can't get her on the phone. She wouldn't be able to be on the show.
Okay, that's fine. I just said, give it a go. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Okay, but are you? Are you willing to try? If she will cherish you, if you respect her. Okay, go for it.
Yes. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, caller. Bye-bye.
People think that I want people that are men to be respectable first. I'm not that. 18% of the families in our country are headed up by stay-at-home men.
Mm-hmm.
And gay relationships, somebody's got to be cherished and somebody's got to be respected. And in a lesbian relationship, somebody's got to be respected. Somebody's got to be cherished. If you compete with each other, I think, I want, I feel, I don't want. We therapists make money when the truth of the matter is you need to waltz, not slam dance.
Indeed, indeed. I think we have a caller on.
Read my book, Getting to I Do.
Awesome book. Okay, caller.
Or read Staying Married. Hello? And Loving It, even if you're not legally married.
Awesome. Hey, caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Oh, I sure do. Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hi.
I want to say, first of all, thank you so much for all of your advice. It's helped me a lot in my own personal life. And tonight, I actually have a question. It's for a client of mine, and it occurred to me that probably a lot of people have kind of the same question.
What is it?
Okay, I am a dating coach, and she has a question about. Yeah, and she's asking me, when is a good time to bring up the conversation about, you know, she wants to use your tools, which I recommended, and so she doesn't want to have intercourse until she has commitment.
You got it.
And she's asking, well,
remember,
when do I bring this up?
That includes prostitution as well. I am not a moralist. I'm a therapist. As long as two people are deciding what they want as their relationship. Mm-hmm. As long as it doesn't hurt children, disabled, and elderly, the government is not interested in your moral code. Okay? So what is she asking you for?
Well, she did admit to me that she's been reaching out to him and texting him, and she has told me she wants to be the feminine energy in this relationship. And I told her that
she's
not acting
feminine. Feminine is passive, patient, and vulnerable. Masculine is competitive, conquering, and controlling. And that's different. I cannot have two masculine, respectable people and two feminine, cherishable people trying to walk. It doesn't work. You end up bashing into each other.
Yeah, and I can see that because she said that, you know, they've held hands and he hasn't even tried to kiss her. And I said, basically, well, you know, he's probably waiting for you to do the seducing because you're being the masculine partner here.
That's right, girl. That's right. You got it right.
Oh, thank you.
But she might want to say, I sure would love to kiss you. How do you feel about that?
But she's told me she doesn't want to be the man in the relationship. And so,
well, then she's got to say, I want to talk to you about what kind of a relationship we have. When do you think it would be convenient? And then he would say, now, tomorrow, whatever. And she would then say, you know, you have every right to want me to be the respectable one to give to you, to protect you, to cherish you. But I'm really more comfortable being the feminine. I really want to know what you want. I really am willing to listen to what you want, as long as you ask me how I feel about it.
Okay.
You've got to set up the system that works in a complementary way. Remember, what I teach is like waltzing, discoing, or slam dancing.
So at this point, she's basically saying that, you know, he's not even trying to kiss her. He's not making any kind of move that way. So should she just passively just wait and or not bring it up?
I mean, she can make an appointment to talk about her feelings and see what he says about it. He may not know how to talk masculine. His father may have been a wuss, maybe a drunk. When men use mind-altering chemicals, they knock out their intuition and go with their feelings. When women eat sugar too much, or booze, or drugs, or whatever, they knock out their feelings, their neurotransmitters, their pleasure centers, so that they become control freaks. We all are both. Every woman on the phone, get your hands up, your right hand. We're going to take our feminine pledge for cherishing. I promise.
All right. I promise.
On my honor.
On my honor.
To respect the man I love.
To respect the man I love.
Even when. I may be smarter. And I could maybe do it better.
Furthermore.
I promise.
To
keep my yang masculine mouth shut.
Unless I have to call the police.
A doctor.
Or a lawyer.
To sue him. Now that's the pledge for females that want to be cherished. Do you want to pretend you're the male? And I'll take you through that pledge.
Sure.
Get your hand up.
Sorry. Okay.
I promise. To give, protect, and cherish. The feminine person I'm with. Even when
they seem illogical,
irrational, and it's irritating for me. So help me God. So that's for people that want to be cherished, and that's for people that want to be respected. And that includes all straight, all gay, and all lesbian people as well. Everybody's androgynous. My doctoral dissertation is androgynous semantic realignment. I'm a transactional analyst. All I do is move words around to impact the quantum physics of energy, yin and yang, and I ching.
I love it.
Okay?
Yeah, I love it. So I'm going to have her actually listen to this show.
Oh, you go right ahead.
So should I tell her, like, to just stop texting him and stop, you know, stop all this reaching out unless she wants to be the man?
No, she's got to negotiate whether he wants her to be the man.
Okay.
Got to negotiate.
Yeah, he is 45 and she is 50.
I've got news for you. There are perimenopause and there are periandropause. His testosterone is starting to go down. And the estrogen in his body is impacting his nervous system. Her estrogen is going down, and the progesterone, testosterone in her body is impacting her. Nature is doing its thing for a midlife crisis. Okay?
Okay.
Good luck, date coach.
All right. All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Allen.
You're welcome.
Thanks, caller.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Too cute. Okay, let's see what our switchboard has to say. In the meantime, I want to remind everybody that you can rent Dr. Allen. You can rent her, and I'm not even teasing you when I say that. You can rent Dr. Allen for small groups, family therapy sessions, little friend therapy sessions, and of course she does telephone appointments, and you can go to info@drpatallen.com to get more information about that. I highly recommend you do. I think we have a caller on. Caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes. Hi, Dr. Pat and Kelly.
Hi.
So my question, basically a couple nights ago, this guy that has been dating me for 3 months, we've been getting into arguments lately this week. It started when I asked him what he thought about me, and the first thing he said is that, oh, you're picky, like you said. So he kind of pointed out something negative about me because I mentioned how I'm a highly sensitive person, and he's like, oh, you mean high maintenance? And he would just kind of like poke at that and say that, oh, I can see while your sister thinks, you know, it's unfair because I burden other people with that. Like, I make people move rooms if I'm uncomfortable, kind of just pointing out that flaw instead of saying something positive. And then from that, I was kind of like, well, you know, we've been dating for a while and I still don't know if we're exclusive or official. And he said that.
Have you had intercourse with him?
No, I have not, because I told him how I feel about that.
I appreciate that, but that means that you're being virtuous and you're not giving him something that is too significant for you to give away free. You want a commitment. Boyfriend, girlfriend.
Exactly.
Fiance,
yes.
Fiance, you see?
And so we were both in the same boat that we both want to be married soon and have kids. But he told me the other night.
Does he want to be respected first, cherished second? Cherished first, respected second? And what do you want, respect or cherishing first?
I want cherishing first, respect second. I think he wants respect first. And I don't think that he feels respected by me, or he doesn't think that I respect him because I've said something like, oh, do you want to get to the... Because I've said... Do you want to get to the next level in life? Like, our lifestyles are very different. I come from like a good family background, and he kind of had to make all this money on his own as a dentist. And he doesn't think that what he makes would make me happy because of how I like certain nice restaurants and like traveling more, and he's kind of limited, or he doesn't value that
so
as much.
Are you people, what city do you live in?
I live in Los Angeles, like Marina Del Rey.
Well,
and
would you consider coming to me to have me facilitate your negotiation? Mm-hmm. I'm in Los
that
Angeles.
Could be good.
I'm in Orange County. What?
Okay. Yeah, that could be good.
Because it may need explanation, you know, because he sounds like he says what he thinks, and that's painful for you. But if he explains himself, it might be negotiable.
Yeah, and he explained that he wants someone who gives equally, like 100% of her salary, or contributes like 100% however she can. And I guess I had an issue with that in terms of monetarily. So that's where we're disagreeing, and that's why he said he's not committing.
If you negotiate waltzing with him, and he won't come in for a half an hour to talk with me, with you, then he may be incompatible because he's unteachable.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to figure out, if we're just not. Okay.
No. Make an effort. If you have chemistry, make an effort.
Okay.
Don't let people go away without that effort.
Yeah,
if he turned you down, you did your best, and he said no.
So I guess I have to confirm if I'm okay, with the salary thing he mentioned. Because that was a big issue for him.
Mm-hmm. See, there are no perfect people. You've got to decide if people are 51% valuable. And on the worst day, you remember why you're with them for that one thing. Do you know what that one thing is today that makes you susceptible to him?
Yeah, he's a great listener, and he's there for me.
Okay, then let's see what we can do in negotiating with him.
Okay.
You try for yourself, and if he can't get you, he may be able to get me.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah, the way I say it, yeah, got it. Okay.
All right, good luck.
All right, thank you. Thanks
caller.
Okay, bye.
Good luck. Let us know.
Yep. Okay.
Yep. Communication. And, you know, that's our theme tonight, which is at midnight. So let's see
what
we've got.
That's what I do. I'm a transactional analyst.
Exactly.
I'm aware of your thoughts, for they become words. Beware of your words, they become habits. Beware of your habits, they become your character. Beware of your character, it becomes your destiny. At the bank making money, the doctor's office being healthy, and in every single loving relationship, mother, child, father, son, sisters, brothers, aunts, uncles, wherever love is, people are vulnerable and they need to know if they want to be respected or cherished first by the people they love, or they want to be cherished first and respected second. And I strongly recommend my book, which I wrote in 1994-5, and which is still in the stores, called Getting to I Do. If you only want to mate, it's still a relationship of monogamy, continuity, and longevity. Mating is marriage without a government contract. Marriage is government contract for mating.
Right.
Hello.
Okay.
Hi. We've got a caller on the line. Hey, caller, you're live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. I want to ask about addiction, because I know you are
an addiction specialist in alcoholism and sexual addiction.
Okay.
Those are two pretty good connections.
Yes, they do fit.
Where one is, the other one is soon to follow.
Yes, I've experienced that myself, and I just wanted to chat with you and see if you could help me determine if I am in that category of alcoholic or addiction situation. And I've been
Let me say right off the bat that an addict is somebody who gets in trouble doing a normal thing, whether it's eating, drinking, cleaning, going to church, sex. Remember that. Addicts get into trouble doing normal things too much. Okay, so what's the question?
Okay, so yeah, I just want to know if if I have an addiction tendency.
In what category? So,
well, it could be numerous. I've been going to
Are you an addictive personality?
I'm beginning to wonder if I am. I've been exploring that idea within myself because it seems like I manifest a lot of relationships.
That everything you do, you want done your way. You're hard to negotiate with because you're a control person. Your male is controlling. Is this you?
Yeah, that's been me for my whole life. And but I've also used various drugs over the course since I was 15 years old. And I've used alcohol, probably abused it in some cases. Haven't drank every day or done. I've listened to a lot of people with extreme alcoholism, and they, you know, tell me like, I drink enough of about, you know, gallon of vodka a day in the morning. Like, I never did any of that. But when I did drink, it was hard for me to stop because
kind of physical, mental, emotional, legal trouble with it?
Usually mental and emotional trouble with it, and especially around relationships.
So you have problems in relationships.
Almost every man that's dated me or I've dated in the past as a man has been an addict of some variety.
Have you ever have you come around my class at the Courtyard Marriott on the
Unfortunately,
second?
I'm not local, but I listen to the
Where are you from?
I'm Montana.
Oh, Montana. Would you be willing to test out AA or SA or NA or some version of the Alcoholics Anonymous program?
I have been going to AA, and I've been sober for like going on 47 days now, and I feel really good about myself.
Congratulations.
Now.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I was a daily weed smoker though. Like, I would smoke pot every single day, and I was 15.
Do you have any relatives? Are you a genetic addict?
Well, my sister is definitely an alcoholic, but she won't do anything about it. She's pretty bad, though. And I know
that's
I have
pretty
it.
Bad. Do you understand that you may have inherited the genes that set up addictions? See,
yes.
If your body doesn't release serotonin, 5-HTP, if it doesn't release serotonin properly, you crave, and that's a good book, The Craving Brain, by Dr. Rudin. The craving brain is, if you don't release enough or the right way, serotonin, you're anxious, you don't feel comfortable, and so you crave something to sedate you, and that's usually sugar, drugs, meds, you see, dopamine that your body makes when you do something financial or sexual. So it may very easily be that you need to know or speak to an addictive specialist that can help you keep your serotonin level accurate, which may be antidepressant drugs. Has anybody ever put you on meds?
Yeah, when I was a teenager, I was, but I never liked the way they made me feel. And I would abuse them.
you would abuse them as well. Okay.
Yeah.
Then would you be so kind as to read The Craving Brain by Dr. Rudin and perhaps get into some aspect of the AA program?
Yeah, I've gone to AA and NA meetings for the last month, and I really like them. I find a lot of value.
Good. But
I also feel like I don't have quite as extreme as some of those people, but I know I have the tendency and it could go that direction. So that's why I'm taking the precaution now.
You know what?
And I haven't hit rock bottom.
You don't have to do the worst things to be part of a group. I think you're
that's
doing
true.
Wonderfully in being mindful of your issue, which may not even be your responsibility. It may be your genetic code. So that it would be nice for you to have a supportive group that doesn't cost you anything, that will give you friends and social life, you know, well.
Yeah, I'm really finding that I like that aspect of it, and I feel really comfortable there. I wasn't feeling comfortable when I first went because I wasn't sure if it was the right thing for me to do.
It is
but
the
now
right thing. You sound right. And read Dr. Rudin's book, The Craving Brain. Which talks about what?
Should I refrain from dating for a while or what do you think about that?
Why?
Oh, I don't know. They say that after you're in your recovery, first year of recovery, you should refrain from dating.
Well,
so I want to know your opinion.
It depends on how much social problems you get with men. Are you straight or gay?
Straight.
Okay. So, do you get into problems controlling men?
Yeah, that's my whole story of my whole life and the lot. But I'm learning from you a lot, so I'm applying what I learned. But I attract a lot of guys. Like the last guy that took me on a date, he ended up being a meth addict.
Okay.
Found out.
Have you read my book, Getting to I Do?
Yes, I've read it multiple times. I love it.
Okay. So if you were to join a group, SALA. Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous?
Yeah, I could try that one too. I haven't tried that one out.
Yeah, Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous. That's the one that's specific for relationships.
Okay. Yeah, I'll check it out. I've read their book or their, you know, their manual.
Very good. Very good. I'm glad you called. I'm 48 years sober.
That's amazing. Congratulations.
It is amazing. Changed
amazing.
My life.
It's a miracle.
It is a miracle. It is.
All right.
So you're talking to the right person.
I know I was. I listened to your show.
Oh, okay.
I'm addicted to your show.
Okay. Good. I wish you well. You sound like a very teachable, nice human being. With maybe not too good a nervous system, but we can handle that too.
We'll work on it. Thank you, Dr. Pat. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Thank you, caller. Good luck. Let us know how it goes.
Thank you. Bye. Bye. I will. Bye.
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 Excellent information, Dr. Allen. You are really amazing when it comes to addiction. You have amazing certification for that, and sometimes it's really difficult for people to open up and reach out. That was really awesome, really, really awesome. We've been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. Okay, callers, you gotta pick up when we call, otherwise we don't get to talk to you, and we love talking to you. And that might have been our last caller because it looks like we're about out of time. Hey, Dr. Allen, what do you have to say before we go?
I want to say the following. The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is by the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
I love it. And can you say the other one that you always say? And I think it's really poignant for this show about action and inaction.
Yes, yes. The only way you can get out of pain is by deciding what is it I want that I don't have? And what is it I have that I don't want? And follow up with action or inaction. Start doing something or stop doing something until you're comfortable.
I love it. That's beautiful. Thank you so much, Dr. Allen. And thank you, listeners. We're so glad you were with us tonight. Don't forget, Dr. Allen offers some seminars and some classes. You can find it at oneistar.com. You've got to sign up for that newsletter, because if you don't, you won't know what's coming next. And Dr. Allen is available for private speaking engagements to small groups. info@drpatallen.com. Until next time, www.drpatallen.com. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.